The new film The Post opens in theaters beginning tomorrow. It centers around the Washington Post's decision to publish the Pentagon Papers, which detailed ways that four presidential administrations deceived the American people about the Vietnam War. The Nixon administration had already put an injunction on the New York Times to stop publication, but in this scene, Post reporters are given a partial copy.
Huh. Are these in order?
I don't think so.
There are no page numbers.
Yeah, that's where the top secret stamps were. My source had to cut them off.
We're supposed to retire on Friday.
Ben, how are we supposed to comb through 4,000 pages?
They're not even loosely organized.
The Times had 3 months. There's no way we can possibly
He's
get
right.
this He's
right. We got less than 8 hours.
We could shoot for City, then we'd have 10.
The Post stars Meryl Streep as Washington Post publisher Catherine Graham and Tom Hanks as editor Ben Bradley. Liz Hanna co-wrote the screenplay with Josh Singer, and she joins us now. Liz Hanna, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
And by the way, you're a first-time screenwriter. You wrote this script. Now it's a film directed by Steven Spielberg starring Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks. Was this a shock to you that it turned into such a big thing?
No, I totally was sitting at my kitchen table thinking, like, obviously these are the people who are going to make this movie.
Right.
It was a total shock. I mean, sort of every step of the way was a shock to me. Steven and Tom and Meryl and then Josh and then sort of every step along the way has been very shocking.
Well, where did the idea for this screenplay come from?
It originated with Catherine Graham herself. I read her book, Personal History, which is her Pulitzer Prize winning memoir that she wrote. And I read it when I was in my early 20s and I just sort of fell in love with her voice. She had a really unique way of looking at her life and reflecting on her past that was sort of similar to something I needed to read in my early 20s. You know, she was very honest about being insecure and very honest about the mistakes she'd made and very honest about analyzing her sort of choices. And it was sort of refreshing to read a book about somebody who wasn't saying that they were right all the time. It all really started there.
What were the mistakes that you found that she made and what mistakes did you try to put forth in this film?
Well, I think her insecurity was something that we really were taken by and something that we really tried to explore in this. You know, she grew up in a time that really the word feminism didn't exist yet. You know, she was raised in a world where she was educated enough to take care of her family and to take care of the house and was never intended to really run a company. And so she was very insecure about that. You know, one of the things she had talked about in her book was that she always regretted not going to Harvard Business School because she thought that that was something that would really have, you know, helped her be suited for the job, whereas she was actually the person in the room who understood the newspaper business and everything that went into the Washington Post better than any of the people at the table. So there was this interesting dichotomy in her of sort of deep down she was this very strong-willed woman, but she had been kind of raised to tamper that down.
Let's listen to a clip from the film. This is Tom Hanks as the editor, Ben Bradley, coming to Catherine Graham's home to tell her that they're getting a copy of the Pentagon Papers.
Do you have the papers?
Not yet.
Oh, gosh, because you know the position that would put me in. You know, we have language in the prospectus.
I know that the bankers can change their mind. And I know what is at stake. You know, the only couple I knew that both Kennedy and LBJ wanted to socialize with was you and your husband, and you own the damn paper.
You know, one of the things I thought was so interesting in this film was this conflict on the part of somebody like Catherine Graham, who publishes The Washington Post, between the editorial side of things and the business side of things, both of which she has to think about.
Yeah, that was something that we really sort of were so attracted to, this idea that, you know, Bradley's relationship to JFK is, you know, I think very widely documented. He wrote a book about his relationship with Kennedy. And Kay Graham's husband put LBJ on the ticket with Kennedy. Mm-hmm. You know, these relationships were extremely personal. They were very deep. For the majority of the time in D.C. at this point, a lot of decisions were made at the dinner tables that these women were throwing. You know, they were sort of known for throwing these parties where people would mingle and meet and they would have the conversations they needed to have that they couldn't have necessarily maybe in the West Wing or the White House. And so, you know, having to come down to this moment where they're making that choice, where they, you know, very, I think, clearly drew the line that said, okay, no longer are we going to, if we have cut you slack for being our friends. We have to decide if this is right for the people to know, if this is more important than our friendship, because it will, you know, I mean, Robert McNamara put every single board member on Kay Graham's Washington Post board. So this was a very intimate decision. And that for Josh and I just really amplified the meaning of it.
Robert McNamara, of course, the defense secretary at the time. And by the way, you know, Katharine Graham was having to deal with a paper that was going public in a stock sale that could be jeopardized if she made the wrong decision on the Pentagon Papers.
Yeah, there's actually in the offering, there's a stipulation that says if a critical event occurs, I think that's the terminology, if a critical event occurs, the offering can be canceled. And in the fine wording of it, a federal indictment is in there. So they were very clearly, you know, when they make this decision, they were very clearly aware that this may not only jeopardize her role and Ben's role, this may kill the paper.
Now, your co-writer on this screenplay, Josh Singer, won an Oscar for being the screenwriter for Spotlight, the film about the Boston Globe investigation into the Catholic Church sex abuse scandal in Boston. How did that movie impact what you were doing here? Because they're obviously both about these major newspapers breaking big stories.
Sure. I mean, you know, I think one of the things is that Josh not only is an incredible writer, but he has an enormous amount of experience in this world. So we were able to speak to Marty Baron, you know, who was at the Boston Globe actually at the time of Spotlight and is now at the Washington Post. So that was amazing, being able to vet the script through people. You know, one of the things that's scary about writing a movie about journalists is they are going to pick exactly what's wrong and they will tell you about it. And so we wanted to make sure that it was as not only as truthful as possible to history, but as authentic as possible to what the dynamics of a press room are and things like that.
Have you gotten any pushback from journalists about this film, about anything that you didn't get right?
No. You know, what's amazing is we had an amazing amount of access, not only with the Post, but with the Graham family and the Bradleys. And so we were able to really vet it. And then on set, we had Len Downey, who took over the paper after Ben left, was on set with us for a long time. And he would tell us, you know, not only sort of the wrong things that we were doing if there was something about journalism, but he'd every now and then be like, yeah, Ben would never say that. And so, you know, he knew Ben and Kay really well. So that was, he was sort of our technical slash, you know, human consultant. But also, you know, we just premiered the film in D.C. last week. And the response, I think has been, for me, has been really wonderful. You know, the only thing that I worried about, or not that I worried that we didn't, but the thing I was most concerned about was I wanted everybody who knew Kay to feel like we got her right, because she's never been depicted on film before. And that was something that we really, everyone involved, we really wanted to get her right. And so we've heard from a few, not only the family, but from people who knew her, that it feels like we got her right. So that's kind of like the best cherry on top of anything.
Well, you can't do much better than Meryl Streep in trying to get a character right. I was watching that and thinking, gosh, she has played so many different famous people over the years.
Yeah, she really undertook it with such an amount of an immense amount of respect. She would listen to Kay's, you know, luckily Kay reads her memoir in the audiobook. So she would listen to Kay's memoir constantly to get her voice, to get her not just the inflections, but sort of you can tell the moments that are important for Kay to be talking about, the moments that are maybe more emotional or that she feels a certain way about. And so that was, I think, a wonderful gift for everybody that we could listen to those tapes. And I think for Meryl, too, to be able to have Kay's voice, you know, really there talking about these things that we were making a movie about was really amazing. But, you know, really, you can't go wrong when Meryl right. can read the phone book and it sounds good.
What about releasing this film in the current climate? Not just a film about the press versus Washington, but in particular, the Washington Post, which is like enemy number one of President Trump in the White House right now.
It's been sort of strange to watch some things that took place in 1971 seem slightly reminiscent of things that are happening now. But, you know, here's the thing. History is cyclical, and sometimes it's good to look back on history to see that, you know, not only did we get out of it, not necessarily unscathed, but maybe with a little more knowledge and a little more experience, and also to look back and say, well, okay, how did we get out of it? What happened? You know, what can we do to sort of see where we can go from here?
It also reminds us, as we look back at history, that it was a lot harder to make newspapers before computers. As I'm watching your film, I don't know how they did that every day.
It's also it gives you such a weight, I feel like, about what the story is that you're going to print, because it takes so long. You know, you can't just hit a button anymore. You can't just, and then it's out into the world to millions of people. This was, you know, a part of this film is really about the deadline. You know, you have to print you have to get the story in by a certain time. You have to print by a certain time to make the edition, to make it go out in the morning. And it gives this real gravity to how news was mass produced in that time and distributed. And I think that is something that we kind of forget is, you know, I can go on Twitter and have literally a million different stories in 25 seconds. Whereas then it was, you know, you get your paper. That's what your paper says, is what you know. And you go from there.
That's Liz Hanna, who is the co-screenwriter of the new film, The Post. It opens in theaters tomorrow. Liz, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.